Meanwhile, he would direct machine gun and mortar fire from the haystacks. For that purpose, Dyke said, he was keeping the platoon's mortar and machine gun men with him to participate in the suppressing fire. So 18 riflemen of 1st Platoon went out into the snow to try to get into Foy from the far side. Lieutenant Foley and Sergeant Martin had only a few minutes to plan the route that would get them to an assault position. They picked a path that provided, every 10 meters or so, a tree to hide behind. The line of trees went on into the distance. One by one, they took off. Within minutes, snipers began to fire. Cries for medic went up and down the line. The platoon returned the fire, but without noticeable effect. Foley went to the nearest wounded man. This was Smith from California. He moaned and groaned as I ripped open the aid kit, and before I found his wound, he began confessing. Imagine! And what he confessed was that he and two other buddies had come across a PX ration and taken it. This consisted of Hershey bars and cigarettes. I told him that he wasn't dying as I cut open his pants leg, sprinkled on the sulfa, and wrapped his leg. Martin told Private Frank Percante to move behind another tree and start shooting into the buildings from there. So Frank goes over and gets behind a tree a little bigger than his head, but it wasn't quite big enough for his ass, so they shot him in the ass. When Lipton saw Percante the next day, he was lying in the snow in a pool of blood, but was still conscious and strong. Lipton asked, "Percante, how bad are you hit?" He grinned and replied, "Lip, a beautiful wound, a beautiful wound." Martin directed Private Harold Webb to a tree and told him where to fire. Foley got on the radio. "We're held up by sniper fire. We can't spot the location. We've lost 5 men. Can you locate? Advise." Someone from Company CP called back to say that the first haystack to Foley's right could be the spot. Foley came back, "Rake that damn stack," even as his platoon began firing at it. Lieutenant Dyke, in Lipman's judgment, had fallen apart. He was frozen behind the haystacks. He had no plan. He didn't know what to do. To the watching Winters, that was obvious. Here he had everybody hunkered down in the snow and staying there for no apparent reason. Winters was frustrated by his inability to raise Dyke on the radio. "Get going," he would call out. "Keep going." No response. Easy Company was taking needless casualties. All it needed was the leadership push to get across the last open space and into town, but the leadership wasn't there.